98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen, down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
Hey, boys. All right, let's do this on a Friday now, officially, technically, afternoon. Aaron Maloney is here with the top stories. There's a lot today.
So the Arizona Cardinals have acquired tight end Zach Ertz from the Philadelphia Eagles in return for rookie cornerback Tay Gowan and a 2022 fifth-round pick.
Yeah!
Here's ESPN's Sam Acho this morning on First Take.
Kyler Murray didn't even need more reliable weapons, and he got some. I think Steve Keim should win GM of the year. Like, look at the moves that he's making. The great teams that want to win, they keep on getting better even when they're strong. We saw Kansas City do that a few years back. Last thing I'll say, after the game, we all saw that video of Zach Ertz getting emotional in the locker room. Nobody knew what happened. Well, now we know. He's going to a contender. Congratulations, Zach Ertz. I'm proud of you. Happy for you.
Your reaction to the deal?
I got to say, just reaction to that clip, Wolf. I'm not saying nobody else has made this connection, but that's the first time I've heard somebody other than you or I compare this team to the 2018 Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs before they were winning the Super Bowls, where they're just like, well, this offense can't stop. Let's add more to it. That's what Steve Keim did. I would assume he's going to be on the very, very short list of GM of the Year candidates.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. NFL Executive of the Year for a third time. That's coming your way if they keep winning. There's no doubt about it. Okay, Zach Ertz, I'm jacked up about it in terms of bringing in a guy that I know is a quality tight end, bringing in a guy that I know is going to go out there and catch passes and be an offensive weapon and increase the value of this offense. There's no doubt about that. The only question I have is, will they still be able to be balanced in terms of running the football? Because I think that's big in terms of protecting Kyler Murray down the road.
So Adam Schefter tweeted that new Cardinals tight end Zach Ertz is not eligible to play Sunday versus the Browns after playing last night against the Buccaneers. So what will he bring to the Cardinals offense? Here's Cliff Kingsbury.
He's a complete player. So I think you saw Max's production continue to increase, and he fills a role for us right now.
And how similar or different are Max Williams and Ertz?
Different players, but both very effective in what they do.
What are you most excited to see from Ertz when he finally takes the field?
I just wonder what he is going to do for the other receivers in this offense. As crazy as that sounds, as productive as they've all been, we talked about this a little bit earlier. Max Williams was doing a lot in the passing game in addition to the blocking, but I don't think teams were coming into games against the Cardinals and being like, okay, we got to pay some attention to Max Williams. They're going to have to pay attention to Zach Ertz the first play he steps on the field, and they're going to have to at least be aware of him in practice leading up to that first play, too.
Zach Ertz is going to become a security blanket for Kyler Murray, and we saw shades of this with Max Williams when he was in the offense, and how many times you would see, oh, boom, a little pop for a 5-6 yard gain from Kyler Murray to Max Williams. You're going to see that in spades going forward. Not only that, but also in the red zone. That's where Zach Ertz, to me, is really going to show up.
The Cardinals look to stay undefeated as they're getting ready to take on the Browns on Sunday. Here's Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning.
Run the football, Browns, if you want to win this football game. Dominate the ground game against the Arizona Cardinals. Don't allow Baker Mayfield to put you in a position where he has to win the game at the end, and then you got an OBJ who's looking to get out of there in the future because he's not getting the football.
Whatever, Keyshawn. ESPN released their bold predictions for Week 6. They think the Cardinals will hold the Browns' top-ranked rushing attack to under 100 yards in one of Arizona's best defensive efforts of the season. The Browns also announced this morning they have ruled out Nick Chubb for Sunday's game.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about that bold prediction that I didn't make now that I know Nick Chubb is not playing. Kareem Hunt's still good. He's absolutely a threat to go off for more than 100 yards. But it does sort of raise the question, could this be another game where the defense, I know, Wolf, you've been saying all week, this is a game the Cardinals offense should step up and win. But this maybe is similar to San Francisco last week where the defense, if they step up, they could win this game for the Cardinals.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear Keyshawn because I have the same opinion, the same attitude that he does right now. Yeah, the Cleveland Browns, they do not want Baker Mayfield one-dimensional. They want him in a three-dimensional offense where you run it, you throw it, and you use the power of play action to throw the ball. That's when he's at his best. And that's the reason why you hear Keyshawn Johnson stressing the fact the Browns have got to run the ball. It's who they are. And I think the Arizona Cardinals got to do everything they can to make them one-dimensional. If that means your offense is scoring points ad nauseum, they can't just line up and continue to run the ball. They're going to have to try to match that. And that's when I think they're in trouble.
A questionable check swing call sends the Dodgers to the NLCS as they defeated the Giants last night 2-1 in Game 5 of the NLDS. Here's Dodgers manager Dave Roberts.
It's kind of what we expected, you know, to come down. Every game could have went either way for the most part, and come down to a Game 5 and the ninth inning. You know, just a great series, and the energy here was a lot of fun. And just to see our guys step up and win a ball game, obviously, was huge.
Ew.
What do you want to know? What?
I think that was it right there.
I mean, how disappointing is it that the game ended on that questionable check swing call?
That's just such an unfulfilling ending if you're a neutral fan, which, I mean, I just wanted to see a good game. I would have preferred the Giants move on. I think it's a little more impressive what they have done this year because, as you were saying earlier, Wolf, it's not just an all-star team they went out and bought. But either way, I wouldn't want to see that game end in either team's favor like that. And San Francisco, I mean, maybe the best team in baseball season, did everything they could to hold the Dodgers off, force the Dodgers into that playoff, play them well in this series. That's just such an unsatisfying, open-ended ending.
See, that is a part I just can't get over. You're talking about the two winningest teams in baseball. You're talking about the unbelievable seasons they both had. The unbelievable series this was, and the incredible game that last night represented, and it was brought down to that. Now, I realize he may have struck out on the next pitch, but I'm just saying right now, it was brought down to that. It didn't happen.
It wasn't even...
Wilmer Flores never committed to that swing. It never happened, and yet it ended all of what I just said.
It would have
That's wrong.
Been unfulfilling if it was close, and we're kind of debating today, like, oh, did he go, did he not go? It's weird for a team's season to end on a first base ump calling strike three, right? But when it's not even close, I haven't heard one person come out in defense of that. Oh, yeah, no, I think he went. Like, really? Are you watching the game from outer space? Because
exactly.
There's nowhere even in real time that it looked like. Like, when they appealed down to the first base ump, I thought somebody had run on the field. Because I was like, why are they looking over there? And then the game was just over. That's no way. That's the open-endedness of it is just brutal.
Yeah.
Where you're like, okay, there's still another pitch, right?
Yes.
No, you're just done. All you got to do is win 109 games again next year to get back to this point.
Although I did love the way Max Scherzer responded. Did you see? I mean, the primal scream that came out of him. It was almost like, okay, he didn't go, so now I'm going to go really over the top.
Did you see him when they showed him in the bullpen? He was like, he was pacing around like caged animal.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, there's no way San Francisco's coming back. Max Scherzer's going to fight somebody if they get a hit off of him.
Oh, my goodness. What an awful, awful way to end a great series.
Yeah, great game, great series, horrible ending. Join Four Peaks for a Red Sea Road Rally this Sunday at Five Star Dive Bar on Baseline in McClintock and Tempe. Kickoff is at 1, and there will be food specials and football prizes throughout the event. Head to the events page on ArizonaSports.com for more details. That, of course, was Wolfing Down Your Lunch, so thank you to Aaron for that. When we come back, what are the Cardinals getting in their newest tight end? We'll ask Eagles insider Dave Spadaro next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
With Wolf and Luke.
Let's go!
Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back to the show. In case you missed it, the Cardinals, of course, traded for Zach Ertz this morning. We're watching the replay of Tampa Philadelphia on the TV in the studio right now, just trying to watch Zach Ertz on every play to see how much he's blocking, what kind of routes he's running. Made a nice catch on what we just saw. But we could do that all day, or we could just talk to somebody who knows Zach Ertz in the situation. Dave Spadaro, the Philadelphia Eagles insider, joining us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Dave, thank you for the time. What was your initial reaction when you heard the news this morning?
You know, I think it's a win-win for everybody. I think for Zach, he gets to go to a team that's undefeated and play the rest of his contract out this year. For the Arizona Cardinals, who are loaded on offense, it's another weapon. Zach is a crafty veteran. He's not going to wow you with his athleticism, but he's going to find a way to box out, get open, catch the football, make big plays, keep the chains moving, and will earn some respect inside. I mean, you're so powerful outside with what you've got in the receiving game. And then for the Eagles, a team that is, look, in a transition situation, you get a fifth-round draft pick, you get a young cornerback who you hope you can develop, and then you save some cap room. So maybe you use some of that cap room to sign a player. So, you know, look, we all value and love Zach Ertz in Philadelphia for what he's done. The Eagles are in a situation right now where if they can get some value for these veterans, they're going to explore that opportunity, and they found a taker in Arizona. So I really do believe it's a win for everybody.
Yeah, you know what? I would agree with that, Dave, honestly. Can Zach Ertz block? If we go ahead and we line him up and put him on a tackle's hip, can he actually come off the ball at the point of attack and get in the way, or does he care about blocking? Talk to us about his blocking and whether or not he
can. There's a lot of different questions in there, Wolfie, right? He cares about blocking. He's not. It's something that he really prioritized early in his career. Didn't just want to be that wide receiver in a tight end position kind of player. So he's worked at it, gives a good effort. But if you got your life on the line in third and two in a short yardage situation, I'm not sure I'm putting Zach Ertz as that guy. Now you may have a blocking tight end, but he's more of a receiver than he is a blocker. That right. said, he will give you good effort. He will give you a very honest effort. And he'll be physical in the blocking game. He's improved a lot in that area. But he's not a block-first tight end. He's a catch-the-ball-first tight end and move the chains. So, you know, I don't know what you're looking for out there. I'm sure you've got a myriad options at tight end. It seems like a very complete offense with the Arizona Cardinals. And Zach Ertz will add to that in a very positive way.
Talking to Dave Spadaro, Philadelphia Eagles insider, about the acquisition of Zach Ertz. And Dave, you kind of just mentioned that the Cardinals have weapons. They've got four receivers they're very comfortable going to. Sometimes they'll throw to Chase Edmonds out of the backfield. But Max Williams, the previous tight end, was getting catches in this offense. Based on what you've seen from Zach Ertz this year, I know he's been amazing throughout his career, but this year, is he somebody that will come in and still command targets away from a guy like DeAndre Hopkins or A.J. Green?
You know, the word command would be like, is he a diva tight end who needs the football? No. But he gives you a great option, and he makes a defense account for him. And so there's a value there. There's a strong value there. He's never going to run the wrong route. He's going to be on the same page with Kyler Murray in time. And there's going to be some point late in this season when he feels really integrated into the offense and he feels very comfortable with Kyler, where on a third and six, he's catching a pass and gaining 8 yards. Here you go, okay, now I know why the Cardinals made this trade. And so he's not coming in and catching 9 passes a game. You don't need that. But what it sounds to me like the Arizona Cardinals are looking for is a player who's going to be a leader, a professional. He's won a Super Bowl. He's going to help lead the way there. He's very close with Jordan Hicks. And he's going to be extremely reliable and extremely professional in every phase. And he'll do what the coaches want him to do. He's going from a situation that has gone in a very short period of time from a Super Bowl team to a team that's 2-4 and searching for answers to a team that's undefeated. And that's going to be extremely rejuvenating for Zach Ertz, who still has gas left in the tank. He's an excellent receiver. But he's not the second coming here. He's not Zach Ertz who caught 116 passes in 2008. He's more of a role player. He's a part of the offense. And that might just be the perfect fit for Arizona.
Dave, could you get more specific when it comes to the leader that Zach Ertz is? Talk about his leadership, and that's something the Cardinals really wanted to improve in the offseason. So talk about him as a leader.
Well, you know, look, he's not going to come in and rant and rave. And, you know, everybody, when they get traded, you've got to find your way in the locker room. There's no doubt about that. You've got to earn your place. You've got to earn your respect. But what he'll do right away, he'll outwork everybody. I mean, he's a great worker. He'll be there. He'll throw himself into the offense. He'll learn the terminology very quickly. He'll stay after practice and work on his timing and work on the little nuances of the way that the Arizona Cardinals want him to play the tight end position, which will be different than the way the Eagles craft the position. So, you know, that's what I mean by leadership, somebody who prepares himself very well every game, every moment, every practice. There will be no letdown in his performance, whether he's playing or whether he's practicing. And to me, that's the kind of guy you want to bring into your locker room.
Dave, the Cardinals last year really struggled in the red zone. They've been a lot better this year, but that's really somewhere that Zach Ertz has excelled, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's really interesting because early in his career, he caught passes, but he didn't catch any in the red zone. And he kept reminding people that, hey, since I've been here, we've had three or four different quarterbacks in a very short period of time. Then the Eagles had Carson Wentz, and for a few years there, it was Carson with a great connection to Zach, and his red zone production went up. But he's a big body. I mean, he's, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", whatever he is, who will run great routes, who will use his body well. And, yeah, in the red zone, he'll be terrific inside.
Talk about the Eagles overall and where you see this team headed, Dave. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
You know, Wolfie, I've been here for a long time, gone through many regimes, and early in the program, as you know, with Kingsbury, it takes time to assert what your identity is, what your personality is, what your core values are. So we're learning that with Nick Sirianni, and it's been bumpy through six games with Jalen Hurts, unproductive the last couple of weeks here at quarterback, found a way to win last Sunday in Carolina. That was a really encouraging win. And then last night, they go out and they drive down the field 75 yards first drive, and then they get one first down in the next six drives. And then they come back and make it, and they're one possession away from having a shot to win it at the end. But, you know, it's growing pains, and the Eagles are trying to transition here. I think shedding some of their older players, a la Zach Ertz, getting draft capital, 10 picks next year, potentially three first-round picks. So you hope this team is finishing 2021 on the upswing, and then they go kill it in the draft. Every team goes through their down periods in the NFL. The best franchises are the ones that come out of that down period very quickly. So we're in the down period right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's see how quickly they come out of it.
Dave Spadaro, thank you so much for the time.
Thank
we appreciate
Dave.
The insight, man.
All right, guys. Thanks. Great acquisition for the Arizona Cardinals. Zach Ertz will help you.
Nice. Right on, man. Thank you. Appreciate it, Dave.
It's Dave Spadaro, the Philadelphia Eagles insider, joining us on the Arizona Sports Line after the news this morning that the Cardinals sent Tay Gowan and a fifth-round pick to Philadelphia for Zach Ertz. And he said it right there at the start of that interview. Maybe one of these trades that's a win-win for both teams. I mean, the Cardinals get a guy, and they only have Zach Ertz for this year. And we should reiterate that. I mean, you brought in Zach Ertz for this year, for the rest of this season, but you're undefeated trying to win a Super Bowl.
And he will not play this weekend.
And he will not play this weekend. But from Philadelphia's perspective, they're probably not going anywhere. And if they're rebuilding, get something for Zach Ertz. And
absolutely.
They did.
No, so, it is. Yep, draft picks galore.
Coming up, Cardinals may have caught a break. They're dealing with their own injuries, but Cleveland's dealing with some as well. We'll talk about a big one, a big name on the Browns that has been ruled out for Sunday. Next, it's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Soul. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
You just heard part of what we're about to talk about here with Mitch Vareldis there in the update. Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for the setup right there.
Are you sure you heard it? Because I kind of stumbled all over it.
It was before that.
Oh, okay.
You heard some other stuff, too. I don't know, but you definitely heard the news that Nick Chubb is not playing on Sunday. He's been questionable all week, didn't practice Thursday, didn't practice Wednesday. Kareem Hunt's been questionable all week, didn't practice Thursday, didn't practice Wednesday. A lot of guys in this game, actually, Wolf, have not been practicing or have been limited. The Cardinals' injury report is lengthy. Cleveland's is much longer, even than the Cardinals.
Yeah, and right now, too, I can tell you, losing Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns is like the Arizona Cardinals losing Kyler Murray.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because I know he's not the quarterback. So, I mean, obviously Kyler would be a bigger deal, but there is no bigger deal on the Browns than Nick Chubb to lose.
No, Nick Chubb is their offense. He's the beating heart of what it is they do. They love to line him up, and Kareem Hunt as well. But Kareem Hunt is not as good a runner in between the tackles, in my opinion, as Nick Chubb is. They like to line Nick Chubb up in 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, and run down situation, first and 10, second and 1-6, and run him between the tackles. Run him right at you and your defense. That's what they like to do. And then guess what they like to use off of that? Play action for Baker Mayfield off of that. Go back and look at Baker Mayfield does a great job in play action and has completed a lot of his passes this year off of play action. It's what they do. It's the beating heart of the Cleveland Browns offense. And now all of a sudden, Nick Chubb is out? That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's about as big of a deal as it could be for Cleveland. You said you think he's a better running back between the tackles than Kareem Hunt. I mean, I would almost say Nick Chubb's a better running back between the tackles than almost anybody in the NFL except Derrick Henry.
Those two guys, as I said, there's those two guys, and then there's everybody else.
So it doesn't like guarantee the Cardinals a win or anything like that, but it's not even the same as like last week when we're talking about Trey Lance coming in, and you're like, okay, this is a rookie quarterback. It should be an advantage for the Cardinals, but also it's the great unknown at the position where the guy's handling the ball on every play. So there is like some sort of like, okay, maybe the 49ers would get a little bit of an advantage because it's an unknown at quarterback. This is Cleveland just lost their best player, and he's a running back, and they'll try to replace him, and they do have a good one right behind him that gets carries anyway in Kareem Hunt, but this is a blow to the Browns. The Cardinals have already gotten blows this week. I mean, they're not going to have Chandler Jones, not going to have Rodney Hudson, not going to have Max Williams. Now, you went out and traded for Zach Ertz, but he can't play this weekend, so the Cardinals are going to be shorthanded this weekend too, but no Nick Chubb, and there are other guys in this game for Cleveland that are at best questionable. I mean, Jack Conklin, you talked about him the other day as being maybe one of the best at his position in football.
Yeah, right tackle, no doubt.
We don't have the official Browns injury report yet for today, but he didn't practice yesterday or Wednesday. That's not usually a good sign.
No, that is not a good sign right there. And again, their offensive line, I think if you had to pick one position room for the entire team that is the strength of that offense, I think it would be the offensive line. I think probably the defensive line is the best position room they have. So physical, so get after your butt at the point of attack. And not only that, but also I would say in third and obvious pass situations, but they're built on the line of scrimmage. That's the incredible thing about it, on both sides of the ball, defensive line and their offensive line. Very, very physical, very, very tough. So this doesn't kill the Cleveland Browns by any stretch of the imagination, because Kareem Hunt is also a very good runner of the football in a downhill fashion. But it certainly puts them in a category where they're not as good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and also, I mean, along those lines, when you lose a running back, a truly elite running back, number two in the NFL in rushing yards, number one in rushing yards per attempt in Nick Chubb, and the pushback is, okay, but we're a good running team, so we'll find a way to run without him. Part of that equation is having that offensive line that's so good. And if they're all banged up too, then it's like, okay, maybe they're not going to be able to replace Nick Chubb or get by without Nick Chubb for a game. I just, at the start of this week, I found it crazy that Cleveland was favored over the Cardinals. The Cardinals are undefeated. But then it was like, okay, now look at the guys that are going to be missing this game for the Cardinals. No Rodney Hudson, no Chandler Jones, a lot of other guys questionable, although it sounds like Byron Murphy and Marco Wilson are probably good to go, hopefully, this weekend. So then it was like, okay, the Cardinals maybe can pull this off, but then you look at those injuries, you're like, maybe not. But now Cleveland's missing guys, too. I mean, 6-0 is very much on the table. Wolf, against a good Cleveland team in their building.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think J.J. Watt is positioned to go off this weekend. I think J.J. Watt, the reason why I would point to him and expect some big numbers from J.J. Watt, and again, it doesn't mean just in tackles or in terms of sacks or pressures, just overall disruption, period, from J.J. Watt. Those are the numbers that I'm talking about. Something he was talking about this week as well, disrupting plays. But to me, the Browns run the ball. They love to run the ball, and J.J. Watt is very good at creating penetration. And penetration will hurt the schemes of the Cleveland Browns. It's one of the reasons why I expect J.J. Watt to show up in a big way in run-down situation. And it's not just against the run where he gets penetration, but it's also the fact that he's a guesser from time to time. And he will guess as to whether or not you're going to run play action. And the Browns use a lot of play action on 1st and 10, 2nd and 1 to 6, rundown situations. I think J.J. Watt gets his first sack of the season off of a play action pass that the Cleveland Browns will try to work.
That's very specific, and we need to play that audio back if it happens on Monday. This is Vance Joseph yesterday talking about the offense the Cardinals are about to face.
As we watch these guys, it's obviously a special group, you know, from a talent perspective. They've got two big-time backs. They're both different. Obviously, with Chubb, he's a guy who's steady, breaks tackles. This guy makes every cut. He makes every run read correctly, and that's tough to conquer because if you make a mistake, he's going to find it. That's what good backs do. Then you add Hunt to the mix. He's a receiver out of the backfield. He makes the same cuts, you know, that Chubb makes, and they both can make big plays, you know. The offense run through those two backs and the receiver and the quarterback, obviously, but to beat this team is to contain the run game. I think they're first, you know, with 185 a game. They're first in carries. They're first in attempts. They're first in explosive runs. They're first in every run category in the league right now. And it's fun to watch because it's old school football, and it's winning football. You know, it burns clock. It burns the clock. And obviously, with our offense, his goal should be to burn the clock and keep Kyler off the field. That should be his plan. Last week, obviously, was a shootout, you know, for Cleveland. And I think if they can run the football and keep our guys on the sideline, that should be his plan. So I'm expecting that. It's going to be a huge challenge. So we'll see. We'll see.
Look at Vance telling him, like, this is what you want to do to us. You're not going to be able to do it. But this is what you should be doing if you want to beat us. I have no secrets, but you're not going to be able to.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it's interesting, right? He's talking about Nick Chubb. He's talking about Nick Chubb there. The subject matter of that was really about how well they run the ball. And Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, by the way, threw him in there as well. You hear him mention, oh, of course they've got the receivers and the quarterback as well.
Those guys. Yeah,
when do you hear a defensive coordinator say that and focus more on the running backs? And yet that's something we've been talking about all week long.
Well, you never hear defensive coordinators give up much of anything in sound bites. That almost, I'm probably reading a lot into this, but that almost sounded like, yeah.
Yeah, you are a little bit.
Well, I haven't said it yet. Yeah, who knows? Now I'm scared to say it. No, but what if he's just like, yeah, you know, they got such great runners. Oh, yeah, I think they do have some receivers. That to me sounds like, why don't you try and throw on us instead?
Yeah.
I'd much prefer you to try and throw on us instead. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll give you the latest on Zach Ertz heading to the Valley, plus our reaction to Thursday Night Football. He played in it. He scored last night. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
And we got the replay of the Coyotes game on one of the TVs in here from last night.
Yeah.
That's you know how much I love hockey. That's tough to rewatch right now from last night.
Yeah, especially because the bad part hasn't even happened yet.
No, it hasn't. You're right. Right now I'm looking up like 2-0. They could work their way back into this. On the other TV, though, we have the Thursday Night Football game between the Eagles and the Buccaneers. And, you know, there's one player in that game. I kind of joked about this before when we had Dave Spadaro on. But you and I were watching parts of this game during the breaks to see, like, okay, what does Zach Ertz do on this play? What is he ever in even a position to block, or is he just a receiver? Because, of course, Zach Ertz is now a member of the Arizona Cardinals, and this is what he had to say about it this morning.
Obviously, I'm extremely excited to be going to the Arizona Cardinals, play with a team that is rolling right now, and just be able to add my skill set to that team. Ecstatic about that situation and just looking forward to going into that building and showing the type of player I am, the work ethic I am, with no expectation. Just want to win football games.
You know what I hear about Zach Ertz is that he's a tough guy. He's a tough football player, and I love that. That means an awful lot to me, and not only because he's a guy that will go out and play through some of the injury situation that you see across the league, and yet some guys will sit out. Zach Ertz is a guy that wants to play. He's a guy that wants to play. Again, injuries are injuries, and a lot of times you're going to miss games due to injury. But this is a tough guy, a guy who tries to push through a lot of stuff, and also a guy that will try to block at the point of attack. Again, he's not a great blocker. He's no George Kittle. George Kittle will go out there, and George Kittle will blow somebody off the ball. Max Williams is very, very good at removing somebody from the line of scrimmage and blowing people off the ball. Travis Kelce is a guy that tries. He's not nearly as good as George Kittle. He's not nearly as good a blocker as Max Williams. But Travis Kelce will try. And that's what I'm told Zach Ertz is like. A tough guy that will stick his face into the fan, and he cares about it, and will try to block, just like Travis Kelce.
Also, any time a player joins a new team, or at least like 97% of the time, you hear that, oh, I'm excited to go to my new team. You know, unless it's the team that they were like, there's no way I'm going to go play there, and their team trades them anyway, and they're like, okay, I hate this, I'm not talking to the media. But generally speaking, the player that's going to the new team is always like, oh, yeah, I'm excited for my new start. Okay, I've heard good things about these guys. Doesn't it ring true, though, right now? Anybody coming to the Cardinals, how can you not be ecstatic, especially if you play offense? Yeah, they're the only undefeated team, and their quarterback might win MVP, and I'm going to have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically what you can say if you get traded to the Cardinals right now.
I just wonder, how many weapons can Steve Keim really put around Kyler Murray? How many more can you do? I mean, honestly, stop and think about it. They got seven dudes. Seven guys right now. Four wide receivers, two running backs, and Zach Ertz. They got seven guys they can put around Kyler Murray that are playmakers.
Joked about this earlier, but then I went and looked during a break. I just looked in one of my fantasy football leagues, right, with 12 teams. Kyler is on a team, obviously. Yeah. All four receivers are on a team. And I don't think it's just because we're in Arizona. Some of the people in this league aren't in Arizona. Now, yeah, Zach Ertz, both running backs. Like, you don't typically see that. It's usually like if you're playing fantasy football, I know this is a sort of a silly angle to look at, but with this Cardinals offense, maybe it's not. It's usually like the top running back and one or two receivers and maybe a tight end if they're desperate. Every single skill position player on the Cardinals, I guarantee you it's this way in every league, is on a team in your fantasy football league because that's what their offense has become. It's just Kyler chucking the ball now to five different receivers almost, and running backs that can catch too.
And the only question I have with this, Basinonians, is just the balance of this football team offensively. The balance of it. Being able to run the ball and continue to develop that part of it. Running the football to a point where you've got Kyler Murray under center. Kyler Murray under center, running the ball, and here comes the tackle zone, and you got a tight end that's out there actually blocking or trying to block on the edge. It's got to be important, I think, because keeping Kyler Murray in a balanced offense, I think, is important. Because if you make him one-dimensional, can he hold up in a one-dimensional offense? Heck yes! No problem he could do that. Just have him run around all in the back right there, whatever, make plays with his legs, extend plays, and throw the ball down the field to Zach Ertz and some wide receivers? Heck yeah! He can hold up in that all day long. You can throw from the pocket if that's what you need. But is it a good thing for him? And does it increase the odds that Kyler Murray finishes the season without missing games? See, to me, that's what the balance represents. Instead of making him one-dimensional where he's going to take more hits, just naturally, he's going to take more hits. That's the way that it's going to go. If you're going to throw the ball 75% of the time, that's just going to happen. The odds say he's going to get knocked down more than if he were in a balanced offense. So to me, that's the question I have. Schematically, physically, intellectually, are they going to be able to protect Kyler Murray?
We saw in that game last night, too, that Zach Ertz was playing, and he scored the only Eagles touchdown through the air. Jalen Hurts ran for a couple, but as far as passing touchdowns, Zach Ertz is actually the one that caught it, and that's obviously his last touchdown as an Eagle because now he's on the Cardinals. But on the other side of the field, we saw the second team in the NFL reach five wins. Tampa Bay is now 5-1. And as much as I have, I don't want to say dismiss them, they're obviously a Super Bowl contender, but as much as really since the start of the season I've rejected them as the Super Bowl favorite, they are 5-1. Their defense is getting more beat up. Richard Sherman got hurt too, but Leonard Fournette looks like a legit number one back now.
That's your bad right there, the fact that you've rejected the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from the beginning.
I continue to reject them as a super. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. I'll take the field. How's that?
Oh, my goodness. I will take the field. I mean, honestly, they're 5-1 right now, Ron Wolfley reporting, and they brought all 22 of their starters back. Did they win the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, they did, but the bet is not will they win the Super Bowl last year. The bet is will they win the Super Bowl this year.
What you're looking at it, you're just saying to yourself, there's no way they're going to win it back-to-back.
There's no way.
There's no way.
I just don't think they're going to. I think they're good. I think they may very well be in the Super Bowl. I picked the Rams at the start of the year. I guess I have to stick with that. It's very possible the team that plays right down the street from us could be in the Super Bowl. But either way.
So at what point do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, what do they have to get to? 10-1 for you to say, oh, maybe they are a Super Bowl team.
No, they have to be in the Super Bowl for me to think, oh, maybe they are a Super Bowl team. They obviously.
That's just, you're just being stubborn, Keyshawn.
They deserved it. Yes, I'm the Keyshawn of Arizona. No, they deserved to win the Super Bowl last year. I'm not taking anything away from that. I do think it's a little more wide open at the top this year. Not like, hey, any of these 16 teams could win, but I do think there's like, we came into the season, everybody was, it's going to be Tampa and it's going to be Kansas City because that was the Super Bowl last year, so that's what it's got to be again this year. It's rarely like that. I think there's like, I don't know, what would you say, eight teams that could legitimately win the Super Bowl this year? They're one of the eight.
You know what, honestly, I need to see more. I need to see a lot more. I need to see November football before I start declaring anybody, including the Arizona Cardinals, a Super Bowl contender.
Wait, even Tampa? So you're on the same page as me?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying right now, I would look at Tampa and say, oh, they're not going to go to the Super Bowl like you do. You look at them and say, there's no way.
When you put
they're
it like
five
that.
5-1, you don't even care.
It makes it seem.
I mean, you're literally saying if they go 16-1, you don't even care.
Seem
you're
a little like, you know ridiculous. What?
I need to see them win the Super Bowl again.
No, I just don't think they're going. If we're going to revisit this after the NFC Championship when it's not Tampa in the Super Bowl.
Yes. Well, of course, the odds say they're not going again.
Just playing the odds. All right, coming up, who or what will be the key when the Cardinals take on the Browns on Sunday? Fulcrum Football is next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.